Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joel Schumann. How are we doing today?
Having a great day, brother.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm blessing the Lord, and my hands are clean. I'm not touching my face.
All right. Well, that's good. I wasn't going to ask, but nonetheless, good.
Well, now you know.
Good either way. Guys, we just want to thank you for, you know, staying with us. We're trying to give you guys as much content as possible when it comes to everything that's going on with the coronavirus, COVID-19, and we know a lot of you guys are shut in and you guys are looking for content. So, Lord willing, keep us in prayer because we are going to try to get it out to you as much as possible. I mean, we're all digging into the Word. Hopefully, you guys are as well. Hopefully, you're digging in if you guys got time with your family that you weren't expecting. You know, if your kids are home from school, you know, whatever it may be, it's great that you can hopefully spend some time and really dig into the Word. And we hope that you can use this as a backdrop. And if there was ever an episode to do that, I think Typology Tuesday is probably a really, really good one. You know, I think it's a great indicator, as Joe and I were talking before the show. It's a great indicator, not that you don't, if you don't, you're not in love and enraptured in typology, that you don't love the Word. But when somebody loves typology, they seemingly typically love God's Word. They love digging in. You know, it's hard to find people that love typology and are liberal theologians, so to speak. You know, but this is really great. We're going to dig into the first three verses of Genesis and really focus in today on the light. We've talked a lot about tohu wabohu. We've talked a lot about being formless and void, and in 2 Corinthians 4, how this is an entire picture, clearly the commentary on this text coming from 2 Corinthians 4, 4 of light coming 4, 6, out of the darkness in 4, 6. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've always, when I think of 2 Corinthians 4, I think of the passage warning about Satan, you know, blinding the eyes of them that believe not. But, you know, now it's even a whole new perspective, even for myself going through this. So I'm going to read the first three verses of Genesis, and then Joe's going to get right into it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, tohu wabohu. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Amen. We're at the light. Verse 3. By the way, we will pick up at certain parts of Genesis and cover huge swaths at a time eventually. But right now, man, this is the foundational verses. Yeah. First few verses. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as Chad pointed out, tohu wabohu, formless and void. That was us. And we have this divine, prophetic, you know, picture given to us of what we were before we were saved, right? And this was us, tohu wabohu, formless and void, right? And darkness is over the face of the deep. So darkness is over us. I mean, we were darkness. And Jesus said, how great is that darkness? And praise God, though, it goes on to say, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So even though we were formless, we were empty, our lives were engulfed in darkness, we were in a hopeless state, God's Spirit was there in our lives, amen? And he was convicting us, and he was speaking to us, and he was wooing us, and he was drawing us, amen? And then what happened in our lives? Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. What does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus said the Holy Spirit will speak of me. He'll speak of the light, amen? Jesus indicated that the Holy Spirit wouldn't glorify himself, but would point to the Son, because it's through the second person of the triune Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, and faith in him that we're saved, and the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus. Now, it's so heavy right here because God speaks, you know, let there be light, and there was light. And it's interesting because now we're going to get into who this light is. This light is a picture of Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind in regard to that. I'm not saying the light is Jesus right there, but the light is a picture of Jesus at the very least right here. In fact, we know this isn't the light that's coming from the sun and the moon and the stars. Why would that be, guys?
Because it's not until the fourth day.
That's right. It's not until the fourth day that the sun and the moon and the stars are created. So he's not talking about the light that's coming off the celestial bodies. In fact, in Genesis 1:14, several verses later, then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Jumping down to verse 19, "There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day." Or there's a fourth day. So this is the first day. And before God creates the sun and the moon and the stars, which he specifically says he makes on day four, he says, "Let there be light" on day one. And I believe this is a clear reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't doubt it because he is the source of this light. How do we know this? Because in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, mm-hmm. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Ooh, there's the light again, too, in association with him being the creator in John chapter 1. So we have a clear declaration that Jesus is the one who brought the light forth in verse 3. Even though the sun and the moon and the stars are not yet created, he brings light on the scene. Isn't that what happened in our lives, guys?
Amen. Holy Spirit began to convict us. God said the light was good, too.
Amen, absolutely. And it's in contrast with the creation, which is just empty and void and dark, you know? And then God says, the Lord Jesus brings the light, and he's the Word. Amen. And the Word is spoken. And the Word comes forth, and you have the Holy Spirit there. You have, you know, God, you know, Elohim, you know, and we see in verse 26, we're speaking of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, along with John 1 and so forth. So a lot of heavy things going on. Guess what? We're just scratching the surface of verse 3, guys. We'll be done with verse 3 and looking at Jesus being the light in this message, but it's going to get really, really heavy in a really, really good way because there's some really profound things going on here, which I'm almost willing to bet that you've never heard before. Not because they're not in the scripture, but because, you know, how many people spend months on the first few verses of Genesis 1:1-3 and how it's a typology, you know? So I've been praying. I'd say, Lord, please open their eyes to see the beauty of Jesus throughout your word. And it's amazing because I call this the morning light, you know, the early light, you know, when Jesus, you know, basically says, "Let there be light," the light appears. And there's a lot of heavy things going on here that are just really profound, especially now. Keep in mind, guys, we were looking at 2 Corinthians 4:6. Chad had just referenced it again, and that was one of the main texts I've been using. The main text I've been using to this point in the New Testament, showing that this isn't something that we just came up with. You know, Paul's the one that queued this up. Paul's the one that points to Genesis as being a picture of our salvation experience. Paul's the one that is the one who shows us by the power of the Holy Spirit, who spoke through Paul and inspired the scripture, that God intended in the Old Testament when he created the universe and it was recorded to give us a picture of our own redemption. And we know that from 2 Corinthians 4:6, for the sake of those who have just been coming aboard more recently, listen to this. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's Genesis 1, first verse 3. Now we're on that verse. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, not just in the early creation, but in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, that light is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've already gone into that, but you know what? I was saving this passage in another part of the New Testament that also bears witness that this is a picture of our salvation until this point. And guess where that is? Ooh, we just got there. We just peeled back the truth a little bit in John chapter 1, the first few verses. I'm talking about John chapter 1 and John 1:5 especially. I already read the first few verses. Listen to John 1:5. "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no dark." I'm sorry. This is 1 John 1:5. Get ahead of myself here. 1 John 1:5. Before I get to the John chapter 1, verse 5, verses 4 and 5 that I want to emphasize in a minute. But who is the light? 1 John 1:5, "This is the message that we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." So God himself is light. There's only a few nouns used of who God is. God is light, amen. God is holy, amen. God is love, but he's light. Blessed are those people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. Psalm 89:15. Psalm 104:2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord, my God. You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. Isn't it interesting that he's depicted as being light and covered with light as he what? Stretches out the heavens. Now, when does he stretch out the heavens? Well, he creates the heavens and the earth in verse 1, and then he begins to act on the heaven and earth as he begins to paint this beautiful story. But he's already covered in light as he's doing that. And in verse 3, when he says, let there be light, he allows the light that he's covered himself with, perhaps, or the light that he brings forth, right? He's at least, at the very least, the very source of this light, the Lord Jesus, upon the earth. Now, didn't Jesus say in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So I believe the light there is physical light, and it emanates from Jesus, who is the source of that light, who creates that light and brings it forth. Now, it's interesting. Now listen to the prologue of the Gospel of John. Listen to the prologue of the Gospel of John, and you're going to see that not just 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but the Gospel of John itself has Genesis 1 in mind. The Apostle John, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love it because John and Paul are two of my favorite apostles. John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. By the way, guys, this is, I'm giving a lot of what I want to say later away, but does that sound familiar? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then, what do we read in verse 2? He's in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being but that which has come into being. Jesus created everything, Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now listen to verse 5, guys. Okay, he was life, right? That's important too. And the life was the light of men. By the way, guess how many times the word light is going to come up in this prologue? 7 times. Number of completion. John wrote the book of Revelation, and we see 7 times over and over and over and over again in the book of Revelation. And I believe it's showing the completion, the perfection, the number of perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. And by the way, we were tohu wabohu, amen. We were formless and void. We were filled with darkness. We needed him who was perfect to come into our lives, amen. The light shines in the darkness. Sound familiar? When did that happen? In creation.
Genesis 1.
It's beautiful. I'm sorry. I love this. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Okay, and that word comprehend, you know, I've studied a lot of different scholars who argue for comprehend there, as NSB translates it, others who translate it overcome. The light did not overcome it, you know. And one, you know, we can use it in the sense of comprehending, you know, as far as understanding and receiving, or overcoming, meaning being so much darkness that the light couldn't penetrate it. Either way, we know that the light in Genesis 1:3 overcame the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it. So we have this picture. Now I'm going to keep reading because the other uses of, there's a few, quite a few other uses of light in the prologue of John. Verse 6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. Speaking of John the Baptist, he came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. Amen. He wasn't a Calvinist. He wanted all to believe through him. Verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Verse 9, there was the true light. He's called the true light, praise God, which coming into the world enlightens, that's the 7th usage of light there, enlightens every man. Praise the Lord, Jesus enlightens every man who comes into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. That could be, there could be correspondence right there in verse 10 with the light not being comprehended by the darkness. Verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. That could be, again, the world not comprehending the light, the darkness comprehending the light. But then in John 1:12, as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God. There's the positive side of that. So in him was the life. By the way, the Greek word for life there is not bios, you know. And bios is the Greek word for physical life, typically, or biological life. That's where we get the word biological. It's the word zoe, which speaks of the principle of life. It's often used in the Greek language of the principle of life, or, and often the New Testament of spiritual life. He that has the Son has the life, amen? And the word zoe over there in 1 John. So if you have Jesus, man, you have the spiritual life, you know? You have Jesus, you have the life, amen? Now, it's interesting because as we look at this, there's a definite picture going on. F.F. Bruce, who was a great commentator, you know, he influenced a lot of other great commentators, like one of my favorites, I. Howard Marshall, a great theologian and so forth, who influenced a whole lot of really good theologians. In the first creation, Bruce says, darkness was upon the face of the deep, Genesis 1:2, until God called light into being. So the new creation involves the banishing of spiritual darkness by the light which shines in the Word. So Bruce is tying in Christ in Genesis, or John chapter 1 in the prologue there, to Genesis. So I'm just pointing out that many scholars have noticed this connection. This isn't something, you know, brand new that I'm bringing to you. This is something that people have seen. Now, it's going to go a bit deeper than where they brought it, but I do believe there's a lot of evidence. And, you know, there's things we can get into that don't necessarily have a perfect correspondence that are just interesting, you know, that I wouldn't say are typologies. But for instance, right now during coronavirus, you know, they're talking about getting your vitamin D, and, you know, and how, you know, people need vitamin D because everybody's shut in. Nobody's going anywhere. And there's a lot of, you know, a lot of warnings about, you know, getting your vitamin D because a lack of vitamin D causes cancer. I studied vitamin D years ago and I thought it was interesting when I studied it because vitamin D is produced by the sun. If you get 15 minutes of sunlight a day, you typically get enough vitamin D. But if you're not getting sunlight day after day after day after day, your vitamin D goes down and you are more prone. That's one of the vitamins you need. There's definite studies. There's definitely an equation between those who get cancer and are low in vitamin D. So I encourage you definitely, you know, get out in the sun if you can. During the winter months, sometimes, right now, it's, you know, we're in springtime already. Doesn't seem like it yet for a lot of people. But try to get out a little bit. I know if you can't leave your home, go in your backyard. If you don't have a backyard, you know, go in your front yard or just stand out in the sun a little bit or take some kind of supplements, you know. But I just think it's interesting. Vitamin D comes from the sun. You know, the sun that we have, the physical sun, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to get into that in this message. We're going to get that when we get to day four. I'm looking forward to that too, you know. There's so much happening here, guys, you know, because there's Jesus is so big and so wonderful and so awesome. You can't, there's not enough pictures in the world that God used to show all of his splendor and beauty. So it's no wonder that the light in verse 3 is a picture of him. Then the light in verse 14 is a picture, and following is a picture of him, the sunlight and so forth. But guess what? You need to get some. You need to have Jesus every day, brothers and sisters. You get spiritual cancer. Amen. You need to make sure you're abiding in the sun. And there's no supplements that can take his place, by the way.
Vitamin D, the deliverer.
The delivery. Amen, bro. He is the deliverer from the sea, cancer and the coronavirus, you know. Anyway, so it's important that we understand this. Now, it's also interesting that you have the word and you have the light happening at the same time. We read in Psalm 3:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Isn't that interesting? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Now think about that. You have the Lord, okay? You have the word of the Lord, the heavens were made by the word of the Lord. Who's the word? The word was made flesh. That's Jesus, amen? Okay, the word of Yahweh, the Father. Yahweh is also a family name. It's used of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Tony was sharing a scripture earlier with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all in the book of Isaiah in the span of a verse or two. It's one of our favorite verses.
Yeah, 48:16.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Why don't you say it real quick, Tony, since I'm putting you on the spot.
Sure, I got to look it up because I don't have it memorized. It's right at the end of Isaiah 48:16.
Yeah, and it's about how he sent, you know, me and his spirit, you know. You have all three. You have Jesus and you have the Spirit there.
Yeah, he says at the end of 48:16 of Isaiah, he says, and now the Lord God has sent me and his spirit.
Amen. The Lord God, that's, you know, Father has sent me, that's Jesus, and his spirit. Amen. And here we see, by the word of the Lord, the heavens are made, and we see the spirit hovering over the water, and we see the Lord there, and we see the word of the Lord, okay? And his word speaks biblically of, you know, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jesus is the word, and the beginning was the word. God created the heavens and the earth. And the beginning was the word was with God. You have the Logos becoming flesh, is with the Father. And we rely on the light of Christ spiritually, you know? Can you imagine if, you know, in the midst of, it's dark out and, you know, an EMP, electric magnetic pulse bomb is set off 10,000 feet above our heads, you know, which the United States government does have a concern about that, even from North Korea and a lot of the post-Cold War former Soviet scientist going over to North Korea and working on EMPs. We don't know what's going on there. We know we have Jesus. We know how it turns out in Revelation, so we don't have to freak out over it. But if an EMP went off, you know, most experts say that we lose all of, you know, our power grid, our electricity, computers, cell phones, everything would be down. And it'd be a ton of life that would be lost in our country if that was to happen. But you know what's even more of a concern? If the lights go off spiritually, you know? Yep. We depend on Jesus every day because he's the light of our salvation. We could die physically, but we'd be with him forever. So that's really, really important, you know? So I want to emphasize a few things that I think are really, really powerful here that you guys, that we want to understand. I want to tie John's prologue into Genesis a little bit more deeply now. And I just, I step back and I just go, wow, Lord, you are amazing. How could anybody deny this is your word once you start seeing these things? Because I'm telling you right now, you can go through, I've been through several commentaries of the Gospel of John, and I've never read what I'm about to share with you. And I just think it's just pretty, pretty powerful. First of all, before I get there though, is understand that the Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. As we look to Jesus, you know, he should get brighter and brighter in our lives. We should decrease, he should increase, amen. And we see these parallels throughout scripture of when he finally shows up, the world's going to be incredibly dark. It talks about darkness. It talks about the sun and the moon not giving their light, the powers of heaven being shaken. You know, the Bible talks about in Isaiah how the luminaries will not give their light and so forth. But guess what? And in the book of Revelation, there's just deep darkness, you know, and the beast kingdom, and they're gnawing their teeth because of the darkness. And in Isaiah, he says it's a darkness that can be, you know, it's like Exodus almost, where it can be felt. It's just a deep darkness. But it's interesting, chapter 2, verses 1:18-21 says, and this voice which came from the heavens, we heard, talking about the transfiguration. What happened at the transfiguration? What did Jesus appear as before them? What did he look like? He
looked bright and shining.
He was shining, amen. Yeah. You know, just like when he came in creation, he's shining. And then look at what he goes on to talk about, how we, this, not to get into this more sure word of prophecy, that's beautiful, but he talks about how we're looking forward, we better pay heed, we're to pay heed to the light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in our hearts. So when Christ comes back, he's called the day star, you know? So when it's pitch black out and the tribes of the earth are mourning because it says, the sun will not give its light, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. The moon will be turned to blood. It won't give its light as well. Another passage in Revelation. Then Jesus appears. He says, it'll be like lightning shining from the east to the west. He'll just light up the sky. It'll come with his mighty angels and flaming fire. You know, so there'll just be all this light that all of a sudden appears. And isn't that interesting? Because he's coming at his second coming with his holy angels in shining light. And the transfiguration is a picture of that when he illumines in front of them, right? How does he start the new creation? Think about it. With what? The appearance of his light, right, in the midst of darkness. Isn't that interesting? It gets way heavier than that, though. Just hold on. By the way, there's a choice we must make. Don't let anybody tell you you're predetermined to either believe or not believe. You don't have a choice, because Jesus is the light of the world. And listen to what Jesus says to you. You have a choice to make regarding this light. John chapter 12, verse 34 and following, it says, the crowd then answered him, we have heard out of the law that the Christ is to reign forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Verse 35. So Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light. It's a command. Walk while you have the light so that the darkness will not what? Overtake you. Now this time it seems like the darkness overtaking is used in the sense of literally, you know, overtaking them, because they're not walking in the light. Remember how the light could not, the darkness could not overtake the light in the prologue? Now we see, so that the darkness might overtake you. You have to walk in that light so darkness doesn't have to overtake you, brothers and sisters. He who walks in the light does, now listen to what he says, does not know where he goes. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. Well, listen to this, while you have the light, that is Jesus with you, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. You have a choice to become sons of light.
Like John 1:12.
Like John 1:12, as many as received, we gave the right to become the children of God right after the seven uses of light. Great point, Chad. So it's interesting. We have this emphasis here, but there's something really heavy going on here. It's impossible when you look at, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, verse 1 specifically. And then in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There's a total parallel there. And then you have the light and the Word showing up, the Word being spoken, and the light showing up there in Genesis chapter 1, the first few verses. And then in John chapter 1, you have in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I'm sorry, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and then he creates everything. And then he's the light. And then it ties that light of Jesus into the light of the early creation when he said the light appeared and the darkness could not overtake it or comprehend it. And then it goes on to explain that Jesus is the true light, that that's a picture of Jesus, who is the true light, who shows up in our lives very much like 2 Corinthians 4:6. Amen? That, you know, that he commanded light to shine out of darkness, and that's the picture of Jesus, Paul says, who shines in our hearts, amen, through the face of Christ. This is all very, very interesting, because in John's time, just before John's day, you have different second temple period, you know. You have that period where the Jews understood that wisdom was enthroned with God in some way. And they began to talk about that. And in Baruch 54:13, not scripture, just talking about Second Temple Judaism, they speak of God's throne in heaven. And for with your counsel, you reign over all creation with your right hand, and you created. And you have established the whole fountain of light with yourself. So light is with him. Isn't that interesting? And you have prepared under your throne the treasure of wisdom. And wisdom is with him. So you have the wisdom or the word. You have the light, you know? And at the same time, they understand there to be one God. Well, John, I believe, capitalizing on the understanding of the wisdom literature and also Second Temple Judaism, seizes upon this moment to say, hey, guess what, guys? You're onto something, but let me explain it clearly to you. This is what's actually going on. And this is where it gets really, really, really heavy, guys. Because guess what? The light comes on the first day of creation. Amen? Guess what happens? Now, we're talking way before the genealogies. What happens when John, in the Gospel of John, the first time you see it, basically the first day, you know, the conception of Jesus, the Word becomes flesh, the light comes into the world, amen? And then we also saw when Jesus comes back, what happens? You know, the light, when it's dark again, the light will come, Jesus again. But check this out, at the end of Jesus's ministry, what does he pray? Okay, now he prays this on the sixth day. Listen to this in John 17:4. I'm sorry. He prays this in reference to his sixth day. I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Isn't that interesting? Because on the sixth day of creation, in Genesis, it says, and on the sixth day, God finished the work that he had done. And by the way, I looked at the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation. The Old Testament uses some of the same words as John uses in, as Jesus uses, as John records in John 74. So on the sixth day, God finished creating, right? Jesus, in reference to the sixth day, he dies the day before the Sabbath, right? On the cross, and he says, it is what on the cross? It is finished. And then there's a Sabbath rest in Genesis, right? And then what happens after Jesus is buried? There's a Sabbath rest. His body's resting in the tomb, guys. Amen? And then guess what happens? It's a beautiful gem, guys. Guess what happened? I have the 1 minute sign left for Tony, with Tony. So I'm going to get to this beautiful gem. What happens on the first day of the week? Jesus what? Rises from the dead. And his light bursts forth. I mean, we have the Shroud of Turin, where forensic scientists say this could only happen if there's a burst of energy that we can't explain, you know? He bursts forth. The first day of creation, what comes? The light of Jesus shines in Genesis 1:3. The new day, the first day of the week, the day we get together and worship Jesus, the first day of the week, the light came out of the tomb. Amen? The first day of the week. Follow the pattern of John's prologue and the Gospel of John. Okay, guys, I'm sorry, man. This is all free, by the way, because we love you. But you know what? There's a cost. Look at Jesus and marvel and worship him and bow before him and give him your whole life.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.